I'm comedian Timmy Boyle, and this is the greatest live Instagram comedy experience that nobody knew about. March of 2020, I just arrived home from tour when COVID-19 shut down the world. So despite being severely technically challenged, I started a daily live Instagram show right here from my living room. Because how hard could it be? And how long could a pandemic last? Apparently longer than 5 months. So now, 100 episodes later, I've called comedians as diverse in experience as they are in style from all around the world to discuss comedy, life, and, well, whatever. I had no goals, which was a great idea. I avoided tech checks, which was a bad idea. And I eventually wore no pants. The jury's still out on that one. And my OJ, over 150 days, transformed from refreshing drink to rancid mystery liquid right before our eyes. It was a random, free-flowing, hilariously messy ride into the minds and backstage lives of entertainers where anything could happen, and did, including a trip to a goat farm. Overcoming a lack of direction, resources, and tech ineptness, as well as multiple zombie cyber attacks, a project not expected to last even a week soon developed into a must-watch show like no other. But don't take my word for it. See for yourself, right here, on another episode of Calling Comedians in Quarantine. Is that it? Did we get it all? Awesome. Well, it's just me waiting. Joy is here. Joy, welcome. We have Budweiser 1924 coming in here. Jacob's coming in. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Mike Hickman is here. Mike, I'm going to be bringing you into this call in a couple minutes here as we wait for some others to jump on. Mary Jane Baker is in. Thank you, those, for tuning in right now on your Saturday night. I'm sure you could be doing a whole lot of other things. We know we're all super busy during this quarantine time. Budweiser is here while driving. Why not? I mean, you don't have to really pay attention to anything that goes on in this show. We have one goal on this show, and that is to have no goals. So we could make it for an interesting ride or an incredibly boring ride. Either way, worth having on while you're driving. Budweiser, you, like screen TV off to the side? Are you in the back seat while someone else is driving and you've got like the whole, you know, big screen surround sound experience happening? Are you just kind of lounging? You know, what's going on? Just swerved to hit the zombies. Nice. Listen, don't, if you see zombies, you run them over. They are crafty. If you let them by once, they will come back. Don't listen to the whole thing of, oh, don't kill me, I'll go away. They will not. They will keep coming at you. You need to be firm. You can say no, like say no firmly to the zombies, because they are more scared of you than you are of them. But if you get the opportunity and you feel that they are threatening you, And they, for whatever reason, maybe they didn't hear the note, maybe their ears are gone. You need to take them down right then and there, because they will. It kind of like, I think it's kind of like with zombies. We can't be, I feel bad saying this because I am like a huge Batman fan, but you simply can't treat zombies like Batman treated his villain counterparts. You know, he would catch them. No, wait, it's the other way around. Yeah, that makes more sense because Batman's awesome. What am I talking about? It's the villain counterpart would capture Batman, would never pull the mask off, would tie him up in a big chain, hang him over a bucket of like acid, and slowly, over like a period of 36 hours, lower him while the criminal went off to do other things to torture Batman. Of course, giving him 36 hours. That's what zombies would do. Don't do that. If you get a chance to take down a zombie, you just do it. You drop them in the big thing of acid. If you've got a big thing of acid, I don't even know if that kills zombies. I haven't even done the research on that. Anyways, oh, good. Okay, so someone confirmed here. Iom Decker, the ears are gone. So zombies do not hear very well. So you have to say no, but also do this. No, no zombies. Because sometimes they can't hear. Thank you. We have a zombie expert in the room, and I've been waiting to talk to one in a while. Anyways, thank you for those who are coming in. Those of you who know who I am, I'm going to tell you anyways. My name is Timmy Boyle from Upstanding Comedy. Those of you who don't know, basically what you're watching right now is Calling Comedians in Quarantine. This is episode 31. Ever since I stopped being able to perform on stages and I've been locked down in my living room, I've decided, hey, here's an opportunity. I could go on this online world and right here from my living room, and I could call comedians and bring them from their living rooms into my living room and then into your living room, and we will talk about life and comedy and quarantine and zombies and literally whatever else might come up. Believe me, some of the past episodes have gone down some crazy routes. We are going to see which crazy route we go down tonight with comedian Mike Hickman. I'm going to call Mike right now and try to bring him into this one. Here he is, Mike Hickman. For Mike Hickman here on Calling Comedians in Quarantine. Mike Hickman.
Hey, hey.
Can you hear me, Mike? All right. I'm having a bad connection here, my friend. He's staring at me. Wait, you can hear me? You're super fuzzy. This is one of the beautiful things of live shows. You're moving slow motion. You look like a zombie. Wait, where are you? Like in the middle of nowhere?
Signal for some reason, it's like super cloudy. Our signal is iffy tonight, it looks like. So I turned on our Wi-Fi, but our Wi-Fi is iffy as well. So I'm trying to find a good spot. Can you hear me at all?
What? I can hear you clearly. But visually, there's a delay. So do you want to cut back out and come back in and see if it resets everything?
Yeah, sure. Let's try that.
Okay. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mike Hickman in the middle of nowhere. So we're going to figure out how to do this. This is the beautiful thing of live TV. I'm just going to call it TV because that's what I know. Just a TV on a small thing. It's just TV on a phone in my case, or maybe your computer. I don't know. Anyways, this is part of the thing. So right now we only have about two people because everybody else went, I'm not going to sit here and watch two people talk that I can't even hear or see properly. Well, I'm just going to say that if you left, you're made a bad mistake. But if you left, you wouldn't know that. So those of you who are still watching, good on you, because as you know from the past, this will be another awesome episode of Calling Comedians in Quarantine once we get Mike Hickman back in here. While we're waiting, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have touched my face. Oh, that's one of the rules. Ah, I did it again. Oh, well. I don't even know what the rules are anymore. I think it's definitely 6 feet. Don't touch your face. Don't cough on people. I don't know. Anyways, I try not to even get outside very often anymore. It's a chore just to go to get groceries. Like, you literally got to go. If I go to my grocery store right now and literally, like, you know, sometimes people point and you're like, they're not even pointing in the right direction. Well, I know for a fact my grocery store is back that way, past Alyssa Milano. That's where it is. And it's just a couple minute walk. And if I walk over there and I just want to buy one banana, just one for a border crossing, something, you know, just because that throws off the border guards, whatever it may be. I have to get a cart. I have to get a cart, even if I'm just getting one banana. And then I have to walk. I go in, I pick up the banana, and then you have to follow the arrows So you take your cart. I've got my banana, and I put it in the big part of the cart, so it makes it feel like it's worth having a cart. And then I follow the arrows around, down, and around, and down, and around, and down, and around, and down, and around, and down, and down. And then you come across the front, and then you can get in line at the thing. But then you can't put the banana on the treadmill. It's not really a treadmill, but I've often would get up on it and run, and they frowned upon that. I don't know if that's just a small town rule, but they did not like that at all. But on that little conveyor thing, you can't put your banana there until the other person is completely checked out of all their stuff. So they're loading up and you're just like, I just want to pay for this banana. That's it. But you got to stand like 10 feet back from the conveyor belt thing until they're completely done. And then got this little old couple in their 140s slowly putting everything in the bag. You're just like, I just got to pay for this banana. Sir, stay back. Okay. So I stay back. And then eventually I just go, and then everybody moves quicker. That's how you get everything done. Anyways, Mike Hickman is back here. Let's see. Here we go. Let's see if we can get Mike Hickman back in here. I just touched my face again. I got this itch. I don't know what it is. I don't know what to do. Here we go. Mike Hickman, are we live? Mike. Uh-oh, it's going to be one of those nights. It's going to be one of those nights, people. Hey? Uh-oh. No. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Mike, just if you can hear me, I can't hear you. Wait.
Is the Wi-Fi better?
That looks... I think so. I think I see you. It's not perfect, but it's better. I think I see you. And can I hear you? I can hear you. Is that it? Uh-oh. Hey, Megan. For those of you who are tuning in right now, there's a slight delay. We're trying to talk to Mike Hickman. He is down in the middle of a...
I'm working on it all I can here, so...
All right. Okay. So
what?
That's the best picture that I've had so far. But there's like a 3 second delay from your mouth moving and your words hearing.
Okay. Let's try to get rid of these and just see.
All right.
I don't know. We're having some weird weather around here. So it's,
This seems to be syncing up nicely. Hello to Megan, who's just come in here, Megan.
Hey, Megan. Wait.
All right, say something long and exciting, and I'll just make sure that we're good.
Okay, all right. Well, you were talking about zombies earlier, and I'm so glad you brought that topic up because in addition to comedy, I do acting as well, and I was just in an episode of Fear the Walking Dead on the AMC network. And nice. In that particular episode, I got to play one of the walkers, one of the zombies, and so it gave me some insight to the life of the zombie. And I don't know, they're just misunderstood.
They are. And just so you know, we this seems to be very clear. As of right now, wherever you're, don't move from this spot. Okay, do not move from this spot.
Right.
Okay,
I'm here
now. And also, if anything goes wrong, understand. We have seen way worse than this technical problem on this show, so it's all good. For those of you who are watching, let's just set this up now before we begin. My name is Timmy Boyle from Upstanding Comedy. That's Mike Hickman down there on the bottom, unless your phone is upside down. And you are watching Calling Comedians in Quarantine, a chance to talk about comedy life and whatever else might be happening. So, Mike, we've got, obviously we have a zombie fan in the house here with Megan. those who have been following the show know that I am convinced that the zombies are out there, but I've been very depressed lately because this is like day 34 for me. And like literally, Mike, worst apocalypse ever. Like I have zero zombie kills, and I was hoping I'd have at least one by now.
Yeah. Yeah. The TV movies can be misleading about how easy it is to get a kill. It's amazing because they can walk at 2 miles per hour, but they can catch a marathon runner. So they're very, very tricky. I had to go to zombie school to be on Fear the Walking Dead.
Nice.
And they have continuity across all of the seasons. They make you do an hour of zombie school where they teach you how to walk, how to do your head. They said, don't do like the typical Frankenstein arms and don't drag your legs.
How are you supposed to walk? Never watched The Walking Dead. So I only know zombies from my own just thought processes. I don't even know if it's genuine.
Honestly, I never watched the show until I was on it. I'm like, I kind of need to see what I'm in.
Yeah.
And so here's how you're supposed to walk. And here's how they tell you in zombie school. First of all, you can't do Frankenstein arms or the producers and directors will talk to you about that.
Okay.
Right. Because they said that's unrealistic.
Of course. Yes. Now, are any of the people teaching you, are they zombies or have they been? Like, where do they get their knowledge from?
Yeah, it's passed down from zombie generation to zombie generation. But actually, the production assistants pull you aside and they have you do this zombie school thing. They said, think of this. Think of, number one, you only have enough brain function to just move your body and you're hungry. Okay.
Yep.
They said, now, as far as the walk, act like you've been in a bar all night long. It's about 4 a.m. and you're walking out of the bar. And there's concrete in your shoes. You're not dragging your legs, but you're just doing your very best to maintain to try to get to your friend's car because you're not going to drive. So,
right.
And basically, in a nutshell, yeah. Then you have to demonstrate. And they're like, no, we want it to be realistic. I'm like, nothing about this is very realistic, but you never know. Maybe it is. So
what if you were like me though, and if I happened to come out of a bar at 4 a.m. and I was always the sober one because I just drank my orange juice and water most likely, and I just kind of walking out like this, like, could I tell the guys in the show and say, look, if that's your example, then I would just, this is how I would do it.
Yeah, I think they have no argument against that.
Right? Like,
you're like, hey, that's how you taught me.
Yeah, you told me to come out like it was 4 a.m. in a bar. And I'm just kind of coming out like pretty happy because everyone else is like passed out and I can just go about my business.
It makes sense. Now, there's ways to tell if someone's a zombie. Like if your spouse, here's a shameless plug. This is on next week's podcast, on my podcast, Jeff Allen's going to be on there. I think you know Jeff Allen, right? Comedian Jeff
Allen. I believe we met briefly at the CCA, but I do not.
Yeah. Well, with some other friends of mine from a radio show, before that segment, we're doing a top 10. This week's top 10 is top 10 ways your spouse might be a zombie, or how to tell if your spouse might be a zombie. Yeah. And one of them is occasionally, when you wake up in the morning, they might have bad breath. That's how you can tell that your spouse might be a zombie.
Oh, so, well, what if that?
Yeah,
maybe that's the sign that you're a zombie.
It could be. It goes both ways for sure. Also, tickle fights going way too far, just way too far. A zombie doesn't know when to stop. So,
no.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm drinking Canada Dry in honor of you. So, little ginger ale.
Cheers, my friend.
There you go. Right there. Yeah.
Appreciate that. Where exactly are you being quarantined right now?
I'm just right outside of Austin, Texas. So put a dot right in the middle of Texas and that's where you'll find me right now. But quarantine, we're actually coming and going a lot. See, my wife is a healthcare worker and she works at a mental health facility for teenagers, a place I used to work at. So you have a comedian working at a mental health facility. That's always good.
You don't even need to write jokes at that point.
No, sometimes it was hard to leave because they're like, do you really work here? Are you a patient? Do you work here? You know, it's very difficult. So I've got a badge So anyway, I had left there, but my wife works there, so she's in and out all the time, and I'm taking her to work back and forth as well. So our quarantine has been not so quarantined, but we are home a whole lot more. If it's not at work, we're pretty much here, so working on projects.
Now, Joy has stepped in with a very medical, I assume Joy knows what she's talking about, halitosis, because you're talking about bad breath. It's the disease of the soul, the young pope. Did the young pope say that? I don't know. So now that would be interesting, because if bad breath was indeed the sign of being a zombie, then it couldn't really be the disease of a soul, because the soul is gone. Is it not?
There you go. Right. Stands to reason. Yeah.
Like if, I don't know what your theological beliefs are, or if anybody watching this has theirs, but if a zombie is dead, where did their soul go?
Into cats. Yeah. By the way, we have some kittens. If you want one, I'll send you one.
Oh, I love cats. Cats are my favorite. Yeah. Are you a cat person or a dog person? I'm assuming you're a cat person.
I've had to become a cat person. We have never bought a cat. We have cats.
Oh, they just show up.
They show up and here they are. But we've got three new kittens. I would go and get one, but I'm afraid we lose connection again. So I'm glued to the couch right now.
Fair enough.
So, but
I have a cat.
Oh yeah, good old Garfield.
Yeah, I got a whole.
In high school, I had one like that, had suction cups on its paws, and I would stick it in the back windshield of my truck. That's things we do here in Texas.
I have that one with a suction cup.
Oh, nice.
I got a whole group back here. You guys don't even see the Garfield. Garfield was the very first cartoon character that I learned to draw when I was a kid. So I used to draw Garfield on everything. Because I at one point wanted to be an animator. That was a cartoonist was what I would ultimately wanted to be. What did you want to be before you became a comedian?
Let's see. When I was a kid, I wanted to be a stunt guy.
Oh,
for
sweet.
A while, but I've always, yeah, but since I was 5 years old, I always wanted to, the arts, I wanted to sing and act. And so when I was 5 years old, when a couple of the, you know, in the 70s, the shows that would come on, we would watch, we only had two channels. We had the good channel and the channel that you could sort of see,
kind of like,
depending on how you turn the antenna.
Kind of like my internet and your internet.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So my dad would yell out the front door, turn the antenna a little more, turn the antenna. And so anyway, the Dukes of Hazzard would come on,
yes,
or Hee Haw. And so what would happen was I would put my little tape recorder by the TV during Hee Haw, because they always had all these.
Hee Haw! I loved Hee Haw.
Yeah, they always had these songs. And so I would record the songs. I would go back to my room. I would memorize the songs.
Yeah.
And then I would come back in the living room at 5 years old and put on a concert for my family. Wearing my Superman underoos sometimes.
Now,
the underwear that's fun to wear.
Now, just so you know, Superman is, we discussed this last night on the show, Superman in my home is the one that you cannot mention, kind of like the Voldemort of Harry Potter. Like,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
He's the S word. My kids, like, seriously, that was the only thing they're grounded for. I walked over here just because I wanted to bring some context. You brought the Dukes of Hazzard.
And
just wanted to show that I had that.
Yeah, classic.
The A Team is one of my favorites. I don't know if you remember the A Team.
Oh yeah, yeah, I remember the A Team. Mr. T.
So when you were
Murdoch.
Yeah, Face is my favorite. Here's a little tidbit, and then I want to ask you a question about the stuntman dream. So Face is actually a life lesson. The character Face on the A-Team is a life lesson I use for my children and for anybody who was willing to listen to me. And seeing as now you and everyone else is a captive audience of sorts, I'm going to share this with you. The Face principle can accomplish anything that you want in life. Like Face could walk into a hospital with a white coat on, and he would approach the desk. And then he would just start talking super fast and being super confident. And the person behind the desk would get all frazzled And next thing you know, Face is like allowed to just walk in the hospital and walk out with like an ambulance and nobody questions because he just made everybody. So talk fast, be confident, and Face literally could do anything he wanted. And I think that's a true thing about life. You should always try to be a face.
That's the lesson of the day right there. I love it.
It is. It's the lesson of many days. Roy says, sorry, I'm late. Margaret was laying a beating on me. Roy is one of our very faithful followers. He has been on the show from the very beginning. And Margaret and him are both like 100-degree black belts. I've actually seen them spar. We came off the circuit tour. Wow. The second last night on the circuit tour, we were staying at their place, and they sparred in the kitchen, and they started off slow like this. And I was like, oh, that's not very fancy. And next thing you know, they're like swinging like 100% plus at each other. And I was like scared for them. But man, they're good. So when he says they're immediately laying a beating on him, they were literally probably like sparring in the dojo. It's super cool.
Got to stay sharp.
Yeah, I want to learn how to do it. I mean, I already am pretty good at it. And him and I have sparred. But this kind of connects back to the stuntman thing. Because in that stuntman world, you know, being a young person, I mean, really, it's kind of a dream to get hurt, I guess. I don't know. But I used to fall down the stairs on purpose to impress the guests. So whenever somebody would ring the doorbell, remember the days when you would ring a doorbell and you would actually show up at someone's house? And right, I would run to the top of the stairs, up and around the corner to the second landing. And then as soon as they would open the door, my mom would be like, hey, welcome. And I would just come rolling down the stairs. Boom, 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 boom. And now it's probably why I have scoliosis now, a little curvature of the spine, but it was well worth it. But I had learned that not from watching a stuntman. Well, I guess he's a stuntman. He did his own stunts. Was when watching Tim Conway on the Carol Burnett show.
All right.
Remember when he was the old man and he would shuffle very slowly?
Yeah.
Well, he did this one scene where he fell down the stairs in slow motion. And I was sold on that sort of physical humor. And then I grew up, you know, Chevy Chase is amazing at it. There's a couple.
He's the Fall King.
Yeah, there's a couple of amazing. John Ritter on Three's Company, like, yep, nailed that over the couch flip every single time. It's one thing I should have actually tried during the quarantine. But why did you want to be a stuntman? And did you actually do anything growing up or theatrically where you actually put your body in those positions to possibly hurt yourself?
Okay, so in the little town I grew up in, it's called ARP, outside of Tyler, Texas.
It
had
ARP?
1,000 people. ARP, A-R-P.
Oh, ARP, okay.
A-R-P, yep. And so there wasn't a whole lot to do anyway. And so me and some of my friends, we would pretty much see who could get hurt the most. Now, my thing was to build ramps and see how I could jump that on my bike. I didn't have the kind of bike that you're supposed to be doing that with anyway. And I didn't have good wood either. Okay. So whatever. And so eventually the ramps, they got more and more makeshift. So I just started piling a bunch of wood and I would try to run through it on my bike and, you know, cut, bruise and all. But somehow I felt like I've got status now. And I thought, you know what, if I could get paid for doing this one day, that would be like a dream come true. And then I thought, hey, comedy, I can get paid to do the same thing. If people will throw things hard enough,
right?
Same thing.
And yeah, probably just as much money in comedy as stuntman work, I would imagine.
Just as much. Yeah.
Now, did you ever hurt yourself though? Like badly, like hospital bound? I've never been in the hospital. Did you ever hurt yourself bad enough to go?
No, I've been in the hospital twice in my entire life. Once when I was 3, because I got my tonsils out. Mm-hmm. And I don't even, I barely remember that except for them trying to, something about a little silver bullet they wanted to put somewhere. And that's the only part I really remember. And I don't really want to talk about that. But yeah. So the other time was I was 12 years old, and funny you mentioned, I flipped over the couch, and we had a brick fireplace, and I kept rolling and just hit the back of my head on the corner of the bricks and had to go get three stitches, and that's about it. But I did learn something about myself, that 3 stitches, a little head bump, and I'm throwing up in the bathroom. probably shouldn't be a stunt guy. I couldn't handle that. So
yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I have never been in the hospital for anything. And like I said, I used to like fall down the stairs, and I used to put myself, I'm a diver in baseball. Like it's crazy really. But when you're awesome, I guess you just break through all that stuff.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, it's, I don't know. We lived up the street. It was amazing in our town. So we had, you know, a lot of Hispanic population. We had a lot of white population. We had a little bit of everybody. And now I'm Hispanic. So I'm full blood Hispanic. My dad is Pedro Lopez, and my mom is, Elisa Caballero Lopez, but I was adopted when I was a baby. So thus my Kickman.
Right.
And, by the way, I met my, Hispanic, mom, I mean, many years ago. And one of the first questions she asked me was, mijo, how come you don't speak no Spanish? And I said, cause you sold me to white people. So, that's true story. And my mom, mom that raised me still has the receipt too. I don't know why she kept it, but she still has it. Anyway, the town we grew up in, you never know. It was amazing because I would have the little kids that lived across the street from us. This is nothing against any culture here, but they'd fall off their bike and just cry like they'd fallen off of the building. Mm-hmm. But there's this one little kid, had to be maybe 6 years old, riding a 10 speed, just up and down, trying to, a bike that's way too big, would fall and just roll through the street, and you could ride anywhere in that town. He would get up and dust himself off, laugh, get right back up on the bike. So it's amazing the threshold of pain. I figured, should I have, being Hispanic, I should have a better threshold of pain, but no, I don't like pain.
I'm going to Google that out.
So stuntman is out. No more stuntman.
So
it had to be comedy, acting, music.
So do you enjoy more? Like, let's put money aside, because obviously one of these, something pays your bills more than other, most likely, but... do you like being behind the camera or being on the stage more? Did you hear that? Or did we lose you?
I did. You froze up for just a second. So I heard something bills more than nothing. So try that again.
Right. Sorry. Okay. So basically, do you enjoy being behind the camera or on the stage more? If you had to pick one.
Between acting and comedy, like.
Yeah.
No, comedy. I like being on the live stage.
Yeah.
More, but acting helps pay some of the bills, and I love the art of it. There's a lot more downtime. There's a lot more on the set. There's, you know, and I look at everything as ministry too, because during that downtime, there's a lot of conversations and things that happen. So. I figure as long as I'm involved in the arts, it's a happy place for me. Mm-hmm. But first and foremost, I love being on the live stage. I came from musical theater.
Okay.
Then jumping into comedy. I traveled as a musician for many, many years. I was doing public speaking, started adding in some comedy, but I wasn't a comedian. I was just that funny speaker and that musician. I did like youth camp circuits, leading worship. I was a youth pastor. When you have ADD, you do a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And so, but made its way finally down to comedy. And so the live stage is always taking precedence other than being behind the camera, whether it be music, comedy, musical theater. But that's really home. Yeah.
I always wrote, I wrote my own plays when I was in school. So I loved stage. But I went to school for film and television. I love acting, and I want to do more. In TV, film, my time's not over. Samuel L. Jackson didn't get discovered till he was in his mid 40s. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He was, Spike Lee. He was a heroin addict or something at the time, brought him into, was it Jungle Fever or something like that? Anyways, I may got all the facts wrong, but yeah. Or no, wait, was it? Yeah.
E.T. It was E.T.
Might have been E.T. Yeah. Cause he was, that's right.
Yeah.
He was E.T.'s, M&M dealer. That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, the kid friendly it down. But musical theater, I was never in musical theater, but I love, like, my favorite musical was Phantom of the Opera. I love Phantom of the Opera. And, like, yeah. I even had the cassettes. So if there's anybody on here is watching that is too young, Like it was like a cassette. We'd have to put it in a machine. And if sometimes it would like go all wonky, you'd have to put a pencil in. Anyways, it's hard to describe.
Right.
But I used to sit at home. This was when I was in high school. I would come home, and it actually shows you how quiet my life was. I would put on these earphones, and I would sing to Phantom of the Opera. And I would just sit on the couch before anybody else back at the house. And I would come home instead of going out with my friends. And I would just sing the Phantom of the Opera. So that was my favorite one. Here, how about this? You recognize this? Think of me fondly when we say goodbye. That's my Phantom of the Opera.
You nailed it.
Thank you. I know.
It was. What big word, whatever the big word is, just transcendent. It was transcendent.
Thank you. Roy has come in and said that it was Reese's Pieces, not M&M's, talking to the E.T. reference. And I would just like to put a disclaimer out right now that if you are coming on this show expecting me to utter any truth or factual information, you need to go somewhere else because I literally don't care about truth. So just want to put that out there. So Mike, so now you tour professionally. We've talked about getting you up here on our circuit tour, which assuming this thing eventually ends, we aim to do that. Have you been to Canada before?
I've been to Canada once. I was in the Toronto area and surrounding areas. It's been quite a while. It's been decades, but I was with a band from. It was actually a praise band from my church. We went up there and we were with I forget the speaker's name. I should know. Oh, Henry Blackaby Jr. You know Henry
yes.
Blackaby?
Yes, I do. I don't know him. Like he hasn't been to my house for dinner or anything. But
well, his son was there speaking. Henry Blackaby Jr. speaking, and so we just did a tour of churches and colleges, and we would just set up and play everywhere. And funny story, it was our drummer was Tim Hawkins.
Oh.
And we were in our 20s and he was doing comedy. He was starting out part time. He was still doing like a computer job, I think was his other job. And he was hilarious then. Almost longer story, almost got us arrested, I think, or could have gotten us arrested after we were there for a half an hour. We rented a van and we got pulled over by a Mountie because we were breaking every law anywhere. So the guy just let us go, but we had told Tim, please make sure you say nothing as we got pulled over. He said, say absolutely nothing. And he was just holding his tongue the whole time. The guy was just like, you got your seatbelts flapping in the wind. You're speeding. And he five or six different offenses. He goes, you're not even trying. He said, nah, go on. And
this Mountie was British.
Yeah, he had a British accent. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that must be years ago.
I hope he was actually a Mountie. It could have just been some guy in a funny hat.
Yeah, because we cut our ties with the Brits a long time ago. So this must have been quite a while ago.
Well, I'm 49, and at that time I think I was 26. Mm. So.
Because Canada is only I think 28 years old, 29 years old. I don't know for sure. Roy might want to fact check me on that, but
thanks, Roy.
Timothy Bannister comedy just randomly spouted out Les Miserables. I don't know if he's calling you or I miserable, but that seems like a pretty hard shot to just to say, oh hey, number one, Josie Robertson is here. I'm just going to tell you this, Mike, just so you know. Josie is a Irish dancer, and we had her on our stage with Joby Sad was up here. So if you know anything about Irish dancing, now is your time to speak directly to Josie. Go ahead.
I know very little about Irish dancing, although now my wife is part Irish, and so she can fight. So that's good. Let's see. We did see Lord of the Dance live. That's Irish, right? Is that the same thing?
Yes, that is actually. That's Irish. Michael Flatley, I believe.
Yeah, he was there. He was looked like he was on his way to retire, but he came out at the end and just blew everybody away.
Well,
but,
I just blew. We saw him in. I think I just blew everybody away with the fact that that was actually a factual statement that I just made.
Yeah, that was true. Yep.
Okay, so
yeah, that's my knowledge of Irish right there.
Fair enough. Well, I'm Irish. My last name Boyle. I have that Irish root. Roy is saying God save the Queen. We really don't.
Didn't know we were.
She's on our money, but I don't think we actually have to bow down anymore. And Joy apparently is saying that the Les Miserables comment was to my singing, which seems very, very harsh because Joy, I thought was a big fan, but now she's throwing out the barbs. So Mike, tell me, who's quarantined with you right now? You and your wife?
Me and my wife and our daughter.
Okay.
So she's 18 years old and yeah.
Oh, how is it being quarantined with an 18-year-old?
Wonderful. She's actually more mature than me or my wife. And so
she runs the ship right now.
Yeah. And see, she's always been older than she is. So super creative. She's a drummer. She was a drummer in a metal band.
Nice.
And she's also an artist, draws, paints. So she's all artsy as well. In fact, we built her a tiny home out back on our property here. So she actually has her own house there, but it's a living room downstairs, but it's one of those small homes.
Yep.
Then upstairs, it was actually a shed from Home Depot, two-story. Then we finished it out, air conditioned it. And now she has bedroom and kitchen upstairs and it's nice. Yeah.
So she's not kind of the annoying, bitter 18-year-old that is sitting there going, why can't I go anywhere? That's it with her.
No, that's actually me you're describing. Mm. So she's good. She's fine.
So what do you guys do as a family? What have you done? Oh, let me change it up. What have you done differently? Cause we're getting ready to, we're going to be wrapping this up in a few minutes, but, cause I like to keep it short cause everyone's busy during quarantine season, but
yeah,
what is it that you guys have done differently as a family that you've discovered by being quarantined together that maybe you hadn't done in a long time or had never done?
We really continued just doing more of the same things. We live two streets over from the lake, so we go boating. We've started doing not necessarily projects together, but projects at the same time. She's working on her tiny home. We've built an outdoor kitchen outside, so we work in a lot of that. My wife is gardening, so we're really just enjoying being a family, taking care of our property, taking care of what's here. Whereas since there is a little more time at home and just seeing how this progresses here, then each evening we watch TV together and that doesn't sound super exciting, but for us, it's our best way to chill out. And we're just doing really more of the same, but the projects are really coming along nicely. And so we enjoy just improving where we live.
That's awesome. Do you guys have a favorite show? Is it the zombie show? Because that's what you got your role in, or
no, actually, I've been on it, but I have only seen like half an episode or an episode and a half, something like that.
Sure.
So, but our shows we'll watch will be like, right now, like we were watching Vikings for a while, which was neat, on the History Channel. Then How I Met Your Mother.
Yep.
Was one. There's a Canadian in there.
There
so,
is, yes.
We figured that out. And so,
there's a Canadian in everything that is good, there is a Canadian. Like if you say that's a really good show or that's a good movie, chances are there's a Canadian in there somewhere.
Right. Now, I have my shows that I have to watch separately that no one really wants to get caught up in there. But, I mean, things like, it was Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Green Arrow, Flash, all the superhero stuff. I love anything from superhero stuff, sci-fi, but also like action and adventure. But really, you put me in front of the TV in front of sci-fi stuff. I love it.
Well, I think, I think most of us as comics have some deep down desire desire for entertainment, right? Like we're drawn to entertainment. That's why we entertain. So I don't think sitting down in front of the TV is waste of time or blah, blah, blah. Like, I believe that my sensibilities of humor, everyone who sat there says, oh, wow, you know, that's so cool. You're doing comedy. Yeah. Well, you didn't think it was so cool when all I would do is come home and watch sitcoms all evening. Or like, what are you doing? You don't even do anything. Well, all of that is, it was my way to learn. I wasn't learning the skills I needed at school, which is completely overrated. But I was learning at the sitcom. And so, especially now, like nowadays, right? Kids are playing video games and they're like, you're just wasting your time. Are you kidding me? There are kids that are playing video games for way more money than I'm ever going to make in my comedy career.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, play those video games, man.
Yeah. Well, as alluded to earlier, you know, we're working on some of our individual things. My wife, she's been called to write. And so she's setting up a space. Now, we set up I have a recording studio also, and I do a lot of self-tapes in there because I've got green screen and the light ring and all those things too. So that's been a great crew. We've been setting up our creative spaces. My daughter's setting up her painting area. My wife's setting up her writing area to work on some children's books and a story that she's writing.
Nice.
And then I started my podcast back that's been off the air for a couple of years, and it's back. So this is quarantine that is really helped renew some thoughts. It's been in our heads for a while. We just never have taken the time to start it, you know. So the creative juices are flowing, and so great time to be all this material that's just been on the back burner comedy wise. You know, it's like, you know what? This is going to be the next few pieces. When we get back out, I'm going to introduce these three right here. The podcast, networking, just like you're doing right now. This is great that you're doing Instagram Live. And I've seen comedians that we're, you know, one of the first things we knew about God was he was creator in the very beginning. You know, we're in his image and he's creative through us. So you put artsy people and creatives and comedians and actors and musicians and tell them they can't perform anymore, it's going to come out other ways. So content is still being created. And I've seen some very creative ways to do that.
Yeah, it's Joel Madison, who is in here. And hello to Joel. We were talking a few weeks ago now on this show just about the fact that this is a great opportunity. There's two aspects to what we do. There's the performance aspect, and then there's the working on the craft. And what I've found, and like what you're talking about there, is that I've had to, because I can't focus on booking the gigs and getting myself on the stage and doing all that, my energy now is not just sitting down going, oh, I guess I can't perform. Now it's about working on my craft, not just by creating content, you know, but now, like, you know, like I'm constantly drawing in material. I feel the creative juices are flowing, and it is an opportunity for all of us. I think everybody in life, this is an opportunity to grow in some way, to create a heightened skill set in some way, to improve somewhere, to add a new skill set, whatever it may be. But I'm glad that you're taking advantage of that. Mike, that's the bell. So we're going to have to wrap this thing up here. I stole that bell from my high school class when I graduated. Anyways,
I love it.
They didn't graduate me with honors, so I felt I could take at least the bell. And I took a pencil sharpener.
Absolutely.
And I took the nameplate off of my favorite classroom. Anyways, it's past the statute of limitations, so none of that matters. Mike, last thing here for you to do is tell people how they can find you, and then we're going to head off on our own ways here.
You bet. You can find everything about me at MikeHickmanComedy.com. From there, you can jump to YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, you know, Facebook, Facebook.com/MikeHickmanComedy. If you want to check out my podcast, go anywhere you like podcasts and just look up the Laugh Track Comedy Cast.
Okay.
With comedian Mike Hickman, you'll find it. But that's even available also, MikeHickmanComedy.com. That's it.
Beautiful, man. Thank you for joining us tonight. And just so you know, like as soon as this thing ends, and I think it's going to be another 400 days. But once we get back on stage, we'll get you up here to Canada. That would be so awesome.
Love it. I can't wait, man. Thanks for having me on. This is a lot of fun.
All right, Mike. Take care, man. Have a great evening tonight.
You too, buddy. Thanks. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Calling Comedians Into Quarantine. Please take a moment to like, share, subscribe, and ring the little bell so you and your friends don't miss any of the laughs. Episodes will be uploaded here at Timmy's Shorts daily until I run out. And be sure to check out the description below for links to connect with myself or my guests on social media, support us by buying merchandise, and also download the podcast version of this show. Until next time, remember, your brain, it's for thinking, not for eating. So just say no to zombies. My name's Timmy Boyle.